Today we're going to talk about going further with mastering pastoral care listening skills. And what's really interesting about mastering this is that there are so many opportunities to get really good at this. For instance, in your very family, every day when you go home and at night when you're with your family, you can practice listening skills with each other. Or you can go out with a friend and just consciously think about it as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And practice this wherever you go. Mastering pastoral care listening skills is not as easy as it may seem, because our tendency is to just start talking and not really listen. Now, the closest person, if you're married in your life, if you're married, is your spouse. And to sit with your spouse and to really say, I am really trying to be a great listener. Now, here's what's interesting. If you're a guy, what's cool about this is that a lot of times we guys, and it could be same with a gal, but we guys, it's like, how does a woman really think? And what does she mean? And what is she saying? And as you actually talk with your wife and learn how to listen to her, what happens is that you have half the gender are women. And as they're talking, you can get the cues of what all the women are trying to say. Not that every woman's alike and some women are different. I realize that. And vice versa. If you're a woman and you're listening to this presentation and you're married, you have the other way to benefit you as well. Now, if you're not married, it's true, you know, you have a different playing field. So you'll get with a sister or a brother or mom or dad or in the context of other church members, different genders. I guess what I'm talking about is listening is also something that happens to learn how to listen to the other gender. If you're trying to fix your spouse instead of listening to your spouse, trying to fix your friend instead of listening in your conversations, what will happen just on those one-on-one relationships, you'll be fixing parishioners without listening to them. But if your spouse or close friend thinks that you are a good listener, then others will think that as well. In mastering pastoral care listening skills, what you want to continue to do is prepare your listening for a listening session as possible as well. So, you know, practice at home, practice with your spouse, practice with each other, but also, if you know you're going to be meeting with someone, prepare for that meeting. Now, how do you do that? Well, it might be that you'll call ahead of time and just get a few. Hey, come on over here. Let's talk a little bit. Is there anything you want me to pray for right now? So you can sort of like think about, even before the meeting happens, you can think about what might be talked about. So do your thinking ahead of time, not necessarily while you're listening. Do a little research before the meeting to update your thinking about a subject matter if you know what that subject is. And here's why. Praying about, knowing ahead of time, doing a little research. If let's say somebody says, Pastor, I want to talk, you know, about a struggle I have at work, and my particular struggle is in a conflict. It really wouldn't be that difficult to go onto peacefire.net. and research those conflict fires that people often have and try to get that in your mind. Now, here's why. You can ask better questions often when you prepare for a listening session. Now, here's something else you can do when you're mastering pastoral care listening, is find listening mentors in your life. There are some people or pastors who really know how to listen. They have ideas, they have skills. They will, in fact, if you ask them, they will share with you. They'll say, sure, here's some of my secrets. Ask them and then listen to them. Now, here's the deal with finding mentors. A lot of times when somebody finds a mentor, they're a little bit afraid to ask because they're thinking, oh, this is going to be, you know, such a big deal, and what does that mean? If you just pick like a listening mentor. This person may not be the mentor of every area of your life. It's just one area that you notice they do very well. And what happens, you contact them, maybe take them out to lunch, invite them over, and say, you know, I've noticed that you are a really great listener. And could I ask you some of the secrets that you've learned over the years in being a really great listener? And what will happen is most will really help you out there. But most importantly, they'll feel complimented. They'll feel encouraged that you saw something in them. Now, when you're talking and listening in a counseling session, and then listening more and talking less in this counseling session, what you'll find is that there will be a random urge, and I believe put by the Holy Spirit, in your questions. The Holy Spirit can place a question or a thought in your heart. Sometimes a breakthrough will even come. You'll just sit back and you'll listen. And then the Holy Spirit will say, ask this question. Ask that question. And with respect and sincerity, sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you a vision, a word of knowledge of a question to ask, and then you listen. And it's in those listening sessions where as you're just listening to the person you're talking to, but you're also in your prayers, you're listening to the Lord. Is there something that's being said? And it'll come as a random urge. And, you know, over the years and 28 years of pastoral care and counseling, you know, I'll be talking to someone and it's as if that thought comes in my mind. And you're listening to someone, and you know, I recall, you know, some of them can be quite comical and hilarious where you're listening to someone and then you all of a sudden have this thought in their mind, you know, maybe there's an affair that has to be addressed. And, you know, on the surface, it doesn't look like anything that might be that way. And then because of that thought, you ask a question, you know, so have you been faithful to one another? And then all of a sudden, you know, it comes out that no, they haven't been faithful with one another, and both have not been faithful with one another. Sometimes I've had that too. Now, and I'm not saying accusatory, okay? Now, when these random thoughts come, be very careful that you don't think that all of a sudden you have the knowledge of God and He has, in all cases, you know, showed you something and now you're going to, like, accuse anybody of anything. Because these are random urges and you're testing the spirits and what I'm saying is that sincerity of, the two of you are together and, you've been faithful all these years, and it's that respect. And in most cases, say yes, or that maybe a lot of times that random urge will lead in a different direction. It's not the question you ask, but it's another question. Or maybe the couple is like, one of them is contemplating an affair. Or the thing I'm talking about is be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the person you're talking to. Their trust, a random urge, could be coming from God. Maybe it's just something that popped into your mind. But as you take that urge to the listening room with respect and not judgmental and not like you figured anything out, let your questions be respectful, but understand that God is in the room with you as you're mastering listening skills. You know, one of the things that I like to do too is get out a piece of paper and write down some notes. Sometimes even in the discussion, you know, especially if things become a little complicated, get out a piece of paper and write down discussion. What happens is the people feel that you really are listening to them a lot of times when you're writing things down. But most importantly, when you write them down, you can look at them at a later time and think and pray about some of the things that you wrote down. And sometimes later on, through prayer and through reflection, an insight will come forward that you didn't expect at the time. You know, listening to others really comes down to your ability to listen to God. So whenever you read the Bible, have sort of this listening attitude to listening to God's Word. When you are practicing your own walk with God, really seeking to listen to the words that are said to you from the scripture. This practice carries over in ways that you cannot imagine. So as you open the Word of God, become a listener there. Look at the words. Think about what's being said. And as you're doing that, you become a greater listener. And sometimes the listening walls, they come to you through reading the Word of God. Those areas that you're not paying attention to God are going to be areas that you're not paying attention to someone else when they're talking. You know, in these sessions, what I like to do is kind of end with a kind of, you know, a practical pastoral care, real life scenario that comes into your life. And it's fascinating. One of the most recent scenarios that have come so much that I've noticed in the last 4 or 5 years is like a question, you know, Pastor, am I gay or lesbian? And these are believers who have convictions that lifestyle is not biblical, but they're sort of like a think tank thinking out there that somebody could be born gay or lesbian, and then when somebody comes to you as a pastor and they have a worry, you know, Pastor, am I gay? I've had like married couples that are like, or actually going to get married couples, and like the woman or the guy in college practiced homosexuality in some context, you know, so the woman will say, you know, I want to marry him, but, you know, I've been with another woman. Does that mean I'm a lesbian? And I've had, these are real life things that have come to me. And one of the things that, and as a pastor, you may encounter some of these things. And here's a couple of suggestions I would give to you just to file in your mind. One of the things I share with them is I mentioned how in our sinful nature, everyone is potentially bi. And they say, well, what does that mean? You know, Pastor, are you bi too? No, in our sinful nature. In other words, because of the fall of man and woman into sin, and the freedom that we have to design our own destiny, what happens is that somebody, no matter how their sort of chemical makeup is, and that's sort of the argument that that many try to argue, you might be born that way. But the reality is whoever we are, we have choices. But the Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 24 and 25, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, and he'll be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. It's very clear. There's a man and there's a woman, and that marriage sexuality between one man and one woman is the biblical pattern. And it's also clear that the autonomy and freedom that God allows someone to do in their sinful nature, that someone's upbringing, some factors in their past, some, you know, maybe addiction to pornography or abuse, you know, I've noticed, like, people who kind of go into that lifestyle, there's issues related to their past that somehow they've been exasperated on their same gender for reasons. Now, is your job to do a complete study of why this happened and help them overcome some of these bitternesses? You know, I think if at the pastor level, you don't necessarily have to get that deep or big into it. All you have to really do is address it and try to help people see that in our sinful nature, we are potentially bi. One woman said, well, what happens if I'm thinking about a same-sex thought when I'm making love to my new husband? And, you know, as a pastor, you can just kind of say, hey, you know what? So you have that thought. Dismiss it, move on, enjoy your husband, and realize that the Word of God says that it's between one man and one woman. And that encouraging, hopeful demeanor will go so far along the way. Now, in cases where there are serious amounts of abuse, issues that, and it is complicated, you know, be compassionate. Because some people's journey, you know, when they come to you, maybe they're dealing with some real hurt from their past, and then the homosexual behavior is a symptom of great bitternesses. Be sensitive. Be in prayer. help the person deal with some of those hurts and bitternesses. And if you can help that person deal with those hurts and bitternesses, that's really foundational. You know, sometimes what Christians like to do is we want to immediately reduce the whole gospel to this issue. And because it's heavy in politics, it's you know, there's a lot of polarization in this issue. But as a pastor, you're dealing with a one-on-one situation or a situation with a few people, and you're talking and you know, above board, you're being honest. Understand that your goal is that they get connected with Christ, and that if there's any hurts, pains that they have in their background, that you can encourage them to address them. Maybe they need to see another counselor. Maybe they have a bitterness they need to check out, you know, peacefire.net. Maybe they need to find, you know, some help in some of these things. But understand this. You're not deterministically born to be homosexual. You were born in your creation to be heterosexual. That is, a man with a woman with a man. And if there's some twistedness in there, it comes out of our sinful nature. It does not come out of biology. And as pastors, we can affirm that God created the order of creation the way he did. Anyway, there's a lot more I could say, but I just want to kind of touch on that because you will, as a pastor, confront some of these struggles that people have.